what I mean is, like, if you go in the Delta and I start feeling tired, is that a good time for me to try to, you know, like, work out the tiredness?
Yes. That's when you were releasing your traumas.
While you're in Delta.
Yeah. Well, trauma really is a verbalization of something that you can't put together in your brain and make meaning out of it. If you never heard dog on you, what would it mean?
Nothing.
Good. But if you hear every day you phrase it, dog on you, you're always fucking up. And one day you're in class and the teacher says, dog on you, you're always fucking up. That's a shock, right?
Yeah.
But it's because it's said to you by someone else, other than your parents. That traumatizes you because doggone you means what? No. What did it mean to you when your parents would say that to you?
That you were much mad.
Yeah.
But the teacher's saying the same thing.
So it puts you in the same frame of reference. And that's what you call a trauma. It causes you to crystallize to a type of phrase that has a limitation on your behavior. So it locks you into that rigidity and causes a cellular refrigeration. Once you recognize that, oh well, shit. That's when you gotta say, oh well, shit. If I'm mucking up, I'm gonna shit it out. My mother said I muck up, shit my mother. My teacher said, shit, so I shit up on them all. Now you go to the bathroom and you shit, and you yawn, and you stop. But you gotta do something obscene enough to break up the reaction. It's a very basic type of understanding, but a very effective form of therapy. But because we don't like to speak in that abrasive or crude manner, we dress it up. And that's what they call it, diplomacy. But if you don't let it bug you, you can always phase it off by antics, which you call tantra yoga, tantric.
Pass it out.
Rubbing your nose up in the breeze, stick it down like a line, rocking them up, high circulation.
So what? Any time that you're in Delta, that time I can work some of it out, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I feel so, why do I feel so tired?
Because the body is not a cause of the Delta, and you only experience that when you're somewhere asleep.
So it's just through association that I think I have to be tired because I'm in that state?
Right. So, this is what I do. Break up the karmic trauma. The sonic resonance. Duplicating God when he breathes into man. He's bored. I don't take it. I don't even know you want. I take it wrong. Okay, you schmat a fool.
So you
can imagine God after you work everything out and he's bored and stiff. That is, this is God says, no, honey, give it something to fool. We can't have it dead and lying up there not doing nothing. All right. Boil up. Came alive.
So yawning is just increasing the pressure,
right,
when you're sucking in. And that's why you can, if you're pressing on a point and then yawn, it's like double pressure, is that what it is?
Right. So it's called acupressure or acute pressure, accurate pressure. There are three levels, low, medium, high, or deep.
Low, medium, high, and what?
Or deep, very hard. Soft, medium, hard.
But you said that yawning was this suction. It seems like it's just putting more, it's like the back pressure.
Yes, siphoning out the gas.
How does that work? It seems like it's just pushing the pressure more down, and then when you're finishing out,
it's it out and make you breathe more through your nostrils. Start beating more.
What's the difference between Delta when I feel real sleepy or the Darshan when you...
One is like a jump of cable.
The Darshan?
Yeah. Darshan is like a jump of cable. And the steady exposure is like a ticket with the battery for a battery charge and then it's charged.
So steady exposure is actually better in the long run.
Right. It's got an absorption.
In 1958, a gallon of gas was 18 cents.
I can remember trying to...
That is why it cost you 18 cents for a gallon of gas. I remember those days. Going to the store and buy this pants was only $2.95. Buy this shirt.
What do you mean, literally punching a clock? You mean when people really have to actually stick it? Are you talking about people who just work an 8 or 9 hour day?
Yeah. Salary, strictly straight salary.
What he's
talking about.
Not that you actually have to punch
a clock. So they're punching the clock. You have to be up that way, and have to get paid.
And whether you punch a clock or not, that your time, regardless whether you punch or not, has to be reported.
The minimum wage is punch the clock by the hour. How they pay the minimum wage?
I
don't have any one salary to do.
Well, maybe that's the difference. He gets other little things.
But I don't have any one salary to do because I've met a lot of them. It's just enough, and the company car. That's the only pride and joy they got, is company car. And the cigarettes and the smoke around the clock. But the wife and the kids, barely make it. They don't have to worry with the clothes. They don't have to worry about their transportation. Why? Because the company supplies them a business suit. The company supplies them transportation. But the wages that they take home, the daily paying the rent and taking care of. Why they gotta work with someone that's going to work? Because it's not bringing other things to pay the other requirements of the company.
Well, maybe these are younger people you're talking about. I mean, they've not been doing this for so long. Like, he's been working for years and years.
I have to go back to work.
My
husband has been in the business for 20 years. And he makes great money. But his expenses are incredible. And they keep going up in order for him to keep up with his business. And there's no way. And I don't have any children. Of course, he has child support. But he just has me. And there's no way he can, I mean, you know, there is, but I want more.
Anytime you got a credit card, and you turn it over to the other half,
you need more.
You better get an extra income to take care of what is going to come with that credit card. Because you're going to be buying more than you're coming in. And you'll find out in the end you don't have it on that credit card.
Did you know that there is now a credit card? You get a credit card from your bank, watch out, because now there is a credit card you use instead of writing a check. It's an automatic, it's usually Visa debit. to your account automatically. You don't write a check, you just use a credit card. It's like writing a check.
No float. The money's taken out right there.
I didn't know that. Like, yeah, and we did all of our Christmas presents on this one card. Tell me. I mean, they automatically, instead of thinking, we thought we were going to get a bill.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh,
yeah.
So I had your check.
We had all of our receipts, but all of our receipts are for exchanges. Plus, when we get the bill at the end of the month, or the first of the month, whenever it comes in, we just pay that. You know, it's a delayed payment. Big deal. No way was it a delayed payment.
I'm going to tell you.
It was not. It was automatic.
I'm going to
tell you.
Oh.
One thing is going to cut us all of that. All false checks and bank checks is that every deposit money in the bank, let's say you put in $1,000 deposit, you're going to get $999 in printed checks. $1 is going to go to the cost of printing that book. You take home your $999 check book. And when you issue out the check, what that number is on each check, it totals up to $999. So there is no way a false check is going to go. It's going to be like money on the checks, or like a American Express checks.
Oh.
The total elimination of all the black checks that you can write off of this are running a pump. That's one cure for a lot of the problems that are facing the banks and all the feedback of somebody giving you a check and it bounces and then you're in a bit of a car, you issue a check against that number, so it's on a bit of no. The person is not going to make checks that they don't have. And if your account is $5 billion, they're going to carry home their $5 billion check book.
Imagine.
Yeah, right. Whatever this is going to be printed out in those large numbers to cooperate with this, that eliminates all the problems of issuing a pile of blank checks to be deducted.
Okay, now with these, well, what I understand with these cards,
you see, that is creating more problems, creating more work, and it's not going to solve the problem because why?
It can't, because if you write checks too, you have outstanding checks, and so the balance is going to show up.
Right.
It won't take on the service charges, even if the balance is right.
Whereas with a check
right.
that is already deposited to the value of $1,000 and funded back to you for $999, you know $1 went to the printing, and that's the bank rate. And the bank honors those checks because it is already printed it to honor it and it's back in your name. And it's got the number from 1 to 9.
Like each one is worth $1, you're saying?
From $1 to $50.
Oh.
Or $100. If you want $100 checks or $350 checks, pens, pens, but they'll be there to the value of $999.
Kind of like money change. Orders. Or
cashier's
change. Change will always be
traveler's checks.
Made in stamps.
What is?
The change is made in stamps. A stamp is a negotiable change.
What do you get the stamp?
Post office.
Yeah.
So if you have $8.30 coming to you, you'll get $8 and a 20-cent stamp.
So what you're saying is the post office and the bank are in that
position. Right. And that will knock out all the fraud, overdrafts, and all the different kind of games played, and put the economy in a stable situation. Because then what is the current overplaying with one account is not going to be there. So some people put this money to shift it over the other way. That game's already done.
You mean there won't be any cash at all?
Oh yeah, it's cash in the form of negotiated checks.
Okay.
You'll have cash. You can
but it's only going to be your personal check.
You can have, you'll have pennies and quarters and so forth, but in the bank book that you gather, you put it out, and you go to a college, you make out the, all right, you have a bill for $10.20. of it through your entire little book. You only have one $1 check, and you have two $5, four tens. So you gotta pay $10 of how much? So you take out, you write out the check for $10, because it's not gonna be more, it can't be more than 10. And the check for 20 cents, you write that to 20 cents, and you get 80 cents worth of stamps as your change.
So you have to give them a $1 one? So are these stamps only for letters?
The stamps will be there as refundable.
You should mail a letter with it?
You can use it to mail a letter or go pay 20 cents or 30 cents with stamps for any place where they can use it, small numbers. Or you pay
a check. They're going to stick together
in if they have it.
They don't want a
stamp. All right, just if you have 22, but you have 2 dimes, if you have 2 dimes, you get it.
Yeah.
Then this will be the next situation that will come up. They'll give you the cash checks, the cashless stamps. But because the metal will be very scarce. That is to reduce the effect of the fluctuation of metal.
That's what they're there for, it does get counted.
When the silver and the copper and the gold fluctuates too much, you're not going to have the silver, copper, and the gold to be using as change. You're going to get stamps. Legitimate postal stamps. Accepted by the U.S. Postal Office. To replace...
We'll probably have more special things to keep them.
Cute little things to put in the
wall. Well,
yes, start designing. Get a jump on everybody.
You're going to have your little stamp here. But that would be for giving... You see, for instance, you can give a $10 check and a 20 cent stamp. And that will be accepted by the bank as $10 and 20 cents. To your account. And if you pay the store $10 and 20 cents, there will be that effect because the stamp will be a cumulative to achieve exchange change. But it's legitimate because you can't compete the U.S. Postal stamp.
There's no way.
So the same way, if you eliminate competing checks by having serialized numbered.
Yeah, let me call it for you.
So if you don't have coins to give $1.20 or $10.20, you can give $10.20 stamp.
So now, because the post office is going to have to mass production, right through the checkout counter, you can buy one cent stamps. But you see, five 20-cent stamps or five 1-cent stamps, they go for $1 to $25, make it your money. So that would be the ratio of value.
Or one to 50, it will go right up, you see, because the ratio of the stamp is set so that it can be used as a legitimate tender for coinage.
Is that why they are starting to sell stamps and grocery stores coming in great for the whole time?
Yeah, they're getting ready. But they're looking at what I'm saying is that it'll be forcing them to either shape up or they're going to run their economy into the gap.
Yeah, they could easily do that once they start printing stamps and not even using coins.
Because that eliminates the coinage to have this kind of $1 ratio. So you have 1 to 50 cents. Because the biggest coin that you have is 50 cents piece. See? So we don't use much 50 cents coin now. So we have 25 cents coin. So. So if you're going to buy a product for $5.33 plus tax and it comes out to $6.10. You give a check for $6.10. We adopted our other tax and everything, so the total is $6.10.
But you would have to give them a $5 check and a $1 check.
No. You give them a $5 check and a $1 check.
And a
10 cent check. That is legitimate because your book is set up that you just signed it to in Hamilton. It's money with your signature for the first time that you wrote. And nobody can sign it because it's signed with you.
And how are they going to do signatures?
Are they going to
do it with your handwriting? Are they
going to
use stamps? Are they
going to
use thumbprints?
Thumbprints. Because then they'll have to look at it and validate
this year. We're going to do it while you're filing away your thumbprint.
Really?
They can eliminate a lot of the problems that comes up in the bank, and a lot of the focus is going on with the issuing checks and now that one, all that.
But they're doing everything possible.
And there is no date on the check, you see, that's because you're issuing, instead of putting a date on the check, a $10 check and a $10 check, why are you putting your signature to it? Press the thumbprint and hand it in with a $10 check. But it's valid money already. It's not predated or postdated or anything. It's automatic money.
I like that. We're going to
John was going to, my son was going to come with his guest to Bud or something. And he just said, make him something maybe, you know, make a workshop tomorrow. He said maybe. Right. And he said,
heard
so
bad. Try again,
come over tonight. Listen, I found you about your alligator or snake skin or black.
That's true.
It's also with your favorite little
went through the time warp in 2001, and so he went through the time warp, and when he came back in the time warp, we see that particular person in three different aspects. The three different aspects we see.
Excuse me, Aunt Betty. I think Liz is going to sell my house if you don't want.
From midday to 6:30, in a matter of 7 days, you'll be becoming allergic. Because the body develops its own natural allergens.
So how does the body react to this?
Because it builds itself. No. Didn't
you make him lose his eyes?
Yeah.
Analogy, you know, somebody put something in mud, you don't have you have a reaction, you don't want it. Now, addiction is something you want to put back, that's the craving. An allergen is something that rejects it. So your own mouth acts as an allergen. Every time you put this thing in there, it pushes it away because you're reacting in the body, except that there's an allergic action. It makes you feel nasty, so you don't want it. Addiction makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you find, when you think back, how many cigarettes a day you smoke?
You have to practice.
All right, so that's about
10 to 18.
All right, but if you don't smoke most of them in the, you smoke them in the morning and in the evening. And in the middle of the day, maybe that's a 2 or 3. The rest of them is always morning. So that's the future. The most. And the period that they take the most is the period of addiction. The period they take the least is the period of allergy.
I understand what you're saying.
Then you should take all of them and just get up at midday.
When you want them or not.
Yeah. And smoke them all out, the whole 12, or whatever it is, in 7 days, you might develop the allergy.
When
so then they put a cigarette there, the allergic taste, and then you don't want the cigarette. It's just a natural biological practice.
You think that'd be easy than struggling around,
doesn't Well, it's easier because you find the body is doing that itself naturally.
What if she just smokes like 5 in the middle of the day and she didn't want anymore? Does she have to force herself to smoke the whole amount?
It doesn't work.
You have to force yourself to smoke that
many. I've done all methods and I've found that over the years in the research on myself and others, when you smoke the quantity that you're accustomed to smoke the whole day, in the growth cycle, and then you don't give it anything in the addiction cycle, then saliva sets up its own allergy, and automatically it phases it off. When you go to reach that cigarette for a long time, your body don't know. Feel around your ears, around in here, and tell me if it's tender.
Then.
Inside the ear, lower.
Tender?
Yeah. Okay, that's a good point for allergy. What they do in smoking clinic for acupuncturists, they put a ring there. Well, that's where the shock is, but originally the reason you might have started smoking might have been a trauma.
Yeah. That's my first husband's.
Well, that would be the biggest trauma to the cigarette support system. See, the cigarette is a support system.
I've come down most of
it. Yeah, so it becomes like reaches a strong system to stabilize.
Even smaller.
Well, then you see, you reverse the process. Take it down. Yeah, do it because it's a reverse of a cigarette. Instead of putting a cigarette to support yourself to feel satisfied for the trauma, take your time out to help for you. Yeah, that breaks the trauma.
It breaks.
Yeah.
So I'd love to stay.
Well, because it breaks the trauma because when they did the reaction of the voice, and they took off and left you, leaving you in a tremor on the screen to reach for something to stabilize you.
The reaching part is...
Yeah. But if you had divorced, then you wouldn't worry about it. Then they divorced you, automatically put you in a traumatic state.
All three of you.
All right. So they put you in a trauma, so made you feeling like you need something to hold on to. Now you have to reverse the gesture psychologically. To break the trauma.
Okay.
Like you take 3 balloons, all right, and write the face on the balloon, and then stick them. So you divorce them, psychologically. See, that breaks the trauma.
I understand what you're saying.
You see, that breaks the trauma. Instead of making you feel dependent, you feel now free. And that wouldn't make you reach out for a cigarette. A cigarette is a sort of a dependency pattern. To support the idea of being left stranded in the state of mind. So you take the cigarette as a support thing. And if not, so before you ever got married.
Here. Stick your tongue out.
Well, you see,
I have every time that put them on the self tonight. If you upset it on the self, you might
and just bother me. Right. You see, Eastern people developed those techniques that they used to call yoga, and they took the posture from animals and they made the person in order, and they called them, they used to call them patients, like in this country, they call them disciples or students. Somebody wants to learn how to be healthy, that's what they call them disciples. So these are the rules of how to be healthy. To make you relax, now you have a trauma, or they call it karma, a condition. for a pause, and then they say, okay, they left you in this situation, how can you realize the property that you got to act the role of the most powerful beast in this world? Then you think of it, what can that animal be? Not human. It's a lion. Good. Okay, so now we want you to demonstrate to us how does a lion behave. And they say, you didn't want to just speak it, huh? So this was a psychological. This is psychological.
Okay. Here you go.
Then every time you see the word, it clicks for it. That's what you go, huh? How you reacted, right?
What about the word Joe? Does that mean anything?
You know, Joe, he comes on as real Joe.
Real Joe?
Comes from the worst.
In other words, Joe is the type of name that tends to get like buddy-buddy to the people. It's a name, it's a word Joe, and the word Joe is a buddy-buddy word.
Buddy-buddy.
It's a sort of a buddy-buddy word, Joe. He's a real Joe. He's a good guy.
He
yes.
was a buddy-buddy, and then he did harass you. That's right.
That's exactly true.
And so the words tend to generate a traumatic reaction in the brain. And this is English. That's why we get the right brain and that brain comes from this. We don't know how to handle it.
I have not known
that. And now, but now you can understand it and see it in this context. Like, so are you.
Okay, the last one is right. And I just thought I'd come to you. You know about it, going through the holiday store. Here comes February, and I have another suit. Like a guy. In February.
Yeah, but you got married in February to Bobby.
Yeah, but I know, but this last reaction, or the reason I'm on vacation from that, because I think Bobby's the last one. Now I'm scared of him. He's scared of him.
Come on. Okay, ready?
We never realize how these words have traumatic action in the brain. And Bobby is already indicative of this. Maybe all want to be nourished, or all want to be nourished.
He was a big old boy.
Yeah, okay.
He's a big old boy.
This is how
Bobby
we can get...
Bobby Parks.
Maybe got to
move. And Bobby,
so this is what traumatizes the woman. I say she can recognize the emotional trauma. She can't get enough. She doesn't do it. And she ends up looking for something to stabilize, in the alcohol, food, smoking, something. And so they rush up. But this is what you got to recognize. That's what a therapist has to work with. You have to work with these things.
Okay, why?
This reason started.
First, see, you able to see
Well, see, what really happened, though, you were moving into, when you started smoking, you'd started, but then Joe Harry came in also at the same time, you know, and so you were, it was like, he was rushing, Joe Harry's rushed so violently, and that was the part of it. Hey, girl, you want to stick your tongue out?
What is it? Let's get
your tongue out of him. She says he was a friend. Now, why did you start smoking again? Stick your tongue out. Come on, be a good girl.
Hey!
What's a word called symmetry? Rustle up something.
I don't mess with that. I was thinking of muscle.
He's a hustler.
Yeah.
His name is Ron Blazer. Now, he's always called him Ron. But any kind of business card, it's always Ron.
Is he on the run?
He's on the run. On the run? But the wrestle balances him. Because he's running this way, but the wrestle is hustling.
Right.
So he's really balanced.
He's the type of person who's got to always be doing something.
That's right.
Yeah.
Most of the
time. Out. Where did
I come? He came to my house this week.
He broke my phone.
Oh,
baby. He doesn't.
That's
what they call
wrestling
our business.
Still won't come on, huh?
That's not my dad. There's no Russell Luxor
business. My last husband tried to fix it. He couldn't, so he was on his own about the spray heater. He broke that
long. He broke that night?
And he broke that long.
Oh.
About 4 years ago. Turn it off, it's working. It makes a terrible noise. It's getting bad. My next husband. And I just accepted to put it always in my bedroom. Woo! With lights.
Yeah. That's the air.
He was so frightened that I almost wanted to make a fun of him. But I was in the house too. So anyway, my medic, first that, made this notice. He judged his time. See what your ex-husband's did. But, and he is deported before he went out. Got these three burns.
Yeah.
Sometimes one light and sometimes two light went down from the street.
Some of the gas has been coming out and lighting it evenly.
Well,
it's
like
it
builds
up
the timing of the
vessel. The guy is, he's running. I don't know where he is.
No?
No, the guy's running to the bus.
Yeah, but how do you find someone with a neutral name? Adonale, is that neutral? That means he's laying around.
I'm not going anywhere.
What would be a neutral name, and you wouldn't have to worry about? I mean, my name is Wolf. Isn't that bad or good?
What's the best friend?
Friend would be a good
friend.
Goodwill.
Goodwill.
Good fellow or something. What do you think about a name like Goodfellow? Does that mean they're...
Not all the time.
Sometimes they're opposite.
They're opposite sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes
they're
opposite.
They're odd fellows.
I think so. I
saw it.
Is this why you had your name changed? Oh, I do it regularly. I change it, don't
you? Would you change it back to regular?
I have
you
do something. No, because the difference is that it's the ETT with the accent. Oh. It's like, you know, when you sound the T, it's just...
You should see William.
William.
Oh, yes. He makes you very conscious of the fact that you don't really walk around like you live in Montreal. You're direct and very straight and direct.
He is
William.
Why?
He's a little fellow that came to my clinic years and he was a conscious of Billy. And he had this magical walk.
He's very tall and
he walks. Really? That's what I just do. But he is
my
Elizabeth and Harry, then we're equal numerically. But if you use Liz, then he is the dominating.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yes, it's wrong
for
vibration.
So, yeah, so I
think... Harry, like, Harry, I want to hurry you.
Yeah. Well, he's a hairy experience. You know, he is. But, he's, you know, it's good.
They're called hair raisers?
Oh, no.
You see that? There was an interesting story. Harold of Hastings went to Normandy to recruit the aid of William, Duke of Normandy, to go and help him reclaim his land back in England. This is how, of course, I read this article, and the monk at that time told Harold, he said, your name is a loser. He's written in French, I read it in French. He said, your name is a loser. You never will be able to run your country. You need a better name. But he couldn't find a name for Harold. Anyway, William just went back with him to help him reclaim his land. But in the process of reclaiming the last battle, Harold refused to recognize William as his full partner in the whole program of regaining all of Scotland back to England.
He refused to
recognize William.
Okay.
Right. And yes.
Okay.
And the sort of they had an argument, and Harold took off. So the Tom of Hastings didn't have a good point. William was coming, finally, and it showed up the payment of having helped him with all the troops, and let him go back to Normandy and forget about it at the last cause of having helped him and all the just did it by tribute. And he refused to go through the gates to let him in, and they gave him up. So William run his horse off the boat onto the shoreline and slipped, fell all over the ground. Can you imagine a man in armor fall off a horse? They thought the battle was over, right? They all had pieces.
See, it's actually the movies.
And then they came up in the fort, you know, they could see Harold and William. But William got up. But in his hand, he had some sand in his glove.
What?
Sand.
Oh, sand in the glove.
Yeah, showed everybody that this land is our fight. And all the soldiers that around him, they were going to charge the fortress, and he says, so gather all the archers and then shoot arrows. And so all the archers gathered around William and they started firing arrows, and that's how Harold got hit in the eye. And when he got hit in the eye, he realized he was going to die and he lost the battle. And William then took over the fortress. Harold died in the castle. And then, when the battle was over, William declared himself King of all England.
Yeah.
King of all England, because Harold was the guy who defeated us and the Saxons and the Angles, and was the only surviving person of that last group. And so he said, nobody to come and contest it. And he got killed because he didn't want to pay off William for helping him.
The
way it came out of him. When I read that thing, it was funny. But that's the very word, Harald.
It's a good name.
It has two things. So Harry, one spells, or her. And at the same time, it doesn't have stability.
The hair.
Somebody who possibly harass you.
What's a good name?
That's what I was asking.
Somebody who possibly harass you is a good name?
No, he said, what's a good name?
No, but he was told that by
the... Oh, right.
So he was trying to find a Saxon name. He never got a Saxon name. So he held on to the old word Harold.
Harold? O-L-D?
Yeah, Harold.
Seems like that would be
like Harold.
Harold,
I help you.
if
he if he got sick in Harold, H-E-R-A-L-D, would have been better.
He would change the vowel to
but what was his name?
It's Harold, H-E-R-A-L-D.
So A-L-D is the only difference?
Yeah.
Well,
so Harold, H-E-R-A-L-D, it means to bring in good news. And H-A-R-O-L-D is to harass oneself with the village.
Yeah, well, not for
Oh, I see. Oh, it's
F-R-A-N.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Saint
Francis?
CES
or
IS? CES. All right, and then Francis of Rome is the patron woman saint for our driver.
Are
she
a woman?
Yeah, she's a woman.
See, my first name is Clara.
C-L-A-R. That's a Claire.
That's a what?
It's a Claire.
C-Claire. C-Claire? C-Claire.
Yeah, C-Claire. Her last name is Raciola.
M-C-G-I-L-D-R-A-L-D.
It's my first,
it's
my
boy's name,
my
children. But it's interesting. See, Francis, the church has just made her the patron saint for all drivers.
Made her the
patron saint for all drivers.
All drivers.
That's
her bad name. I didn't like it.
Now, what was her name?
Francis.
What?
That's her name, Francis of Rome. You see, they dropped St. Christopher, the patron saint of travelers, because the church didn't want us, and they said they don't think he's a real guy. So they dropped him off, and they found this woman who prayed for the safety of travelers, and they would always get through. And the church has now made her the patron saint of travelers.
I think that's very
funny because, you know, everybody's
saying, well, the driver, and now the patron saint of
travelers. Right. I'm so glad you said that. I love it. I'm so glad you said it. I'm going to get a figure in my car every time I hear a truck driver say, woman driver.
Yeah,
tell
them
who the patron saint is. Let me tell you, buddy, the patron saint is St. Francis, and it's a woman.
Yeah.
The Pope declared her.
Right.
Yeah, that was
something
on that one.
Yeah. Sam's
Jewish.
Huh?
Yes,
yeah,
Jewish.
You'll say, pill on the phone. Did you make friends?
What about Ronald?
Ronald is,
Preston, please.
Ronald is good.
My youngest son's name is Russell. He's the first one. But he's got to be doing something awful.
Yeah, the word Russell means to rustle up all his food to be active.
We put those names on.
Oh. Well, you see, names originally began with occupation. That's why they find among the American Indians, they don't give you a name. They always call you boy or girl or squaw. Then you 13 years of age, and then you get your name. So like you go out from the tribe for 24 hours, and then you come back with your name. That's how they get their name. I lived among them there in the Navajo especially, and this young family had this boy, and it was his time to go out. And he had a little bow and arrow, and he went off. And he didn't show up until about 24 hours, next was almost 30 hours. And he was bringing in a feather. And they asked him, what's your name? And he said, Gray Eagle. The feather.
Gray?
Yeah, the eagle
gray
feather.
Eagle.
It was a gray eagle feather.
The gray eagle.
Yeah. He saw an eagle while he was out there in the in the reservation and fly. And he was tracking it, and the eagle was in the field of what you call molting.
Yeah.
and one of his feathers fell off and got it. And that was his name, Bredigo. Now, I met him years after, and it was funny. He was always taking care of the family's sheep. No other, we had other brothers, but they could never handle the sheep. The sheep would never listen to them. But he would come, and he'd just shake a little feather, and make them noise, and the sheep would walk.
Okay, do the parents normally give them
the names? No, they make
the names.
They
oh, they make
them
themselves.
Yeah.
They go out, okay.
Yeah. Then from then on, he's called Great Eagle.
Okay, but if your name, what would be my talent? I haven't found quite how I do with it.
But I know what I do know. It's the ability to make time stop. And that's what I was trying to say. You know, like a few times it's with people, and it's like time stops, you know, and you're just completely in that place, and you know, and when you come out of it, it's like, well, golly, it's afternoon, it's still afternoon. is that the constitution, is that the particular nothing? No. My Indian name is Cosmoral. Because when I went to the lake one time and I stayed a week. I went to the lake and stayed a week. We have a little lake lot. I would love you to see it because it's really pretty down there. And I didn't take anything with me. We had a tent down there then, a cabin night. But I went down and I stayed, and the only thing that happened was that, and I meditated, but the tent was blue, too. It was really interesting because it was just a bright, brilliant, bright blue, and it was, you know, so it was in this tent a lot, and I fasted. I took pineapple, and that's all I took. But the only thing really interesting, there was a lot of fog that rose on the lake. It was in August. And the only thing that I did, I came back one time and I got a clock. That was the only unusual thing that happened. But I could have gotten the radio. You know, afterward I said to myself, I didn't get the radio. You know, that's strange that I got the clock. I couldn't tell what time it was. It was like, there was no right. I would look and say, well, what is that time? It was like without that measurement of time. To control, it was like time just went on, and you didn't know you were lost in your time.
Yeah.
So that's how I got started.
Yeah, that's the suspension of time.
So did you name yourself that, or
yeah.
No, he named you.
The great gentleman.
That was given to me, Genoa. They gave me that name when I was in the reservation.
Oh, that's you.
Yeah.
Which means, I think that's
it's
spirit
man. Yeah, spirit man.
Spirit man.
Spirit
man. Oh, English. Who else would be qualified to give you a spiritual guidance? That's spirit man.
That's you. And you have two names. Two things. Three with you. That's me.
Well,
Gene Leonard. Mother, did you ask him for your spiritual
name,
or did he just give it to you?
Well, he gave it to me because he told me that I could do that, and I said, well, I've already done it. And he said, what unusual happened? And I said, nothing unusual happened, except that I couldn't. I went home and after 2 days or 3 days and got a clock. And took the clock back to the lake because I couldn't stand not knowing, you know, what time it was.
Oh.
And there was a lot of fog in the lake. That was the only other thing.
In India, they call that yogini. Meaning, unified consciousness. Female.
Yeah.
Masculine is yogi. Yogi, the word yogi means unified, or unity, or union.
Mm-hmm.
And the male person is called a yogi, one male
person in the state of the unified field, where everything is suspended. The female person is called the yogini.
Why did they make that distinction?
Like every language, you have to have male, female, derivatives at the end, like...
Except for this language, English, again.
Oh, yes.
Well, fewer, like waiter and waitress, but there's not that many. In Spanish, every word has male and female.
English, let me clarify for your friend. English didn't become a language. It started off as a dialect and evolved into a language. That's the one advantage that English has over every other language. It starts as a language and didn't evolve any further than a language. They can't become dialects.